As the dawn of Easter 1959 spreads across the world, man-made clouds of despair obscure the spiritual brilliance of our Lord's triumph over death, hell, and the grave. Millions across the world live as though there had never been a Calvary or an Easter. So steeped is the human race in the rubble and hopelessness that they cannot see the light of hope and immortality that shines from the empty tomb of our risen Lord. Africa's repressed racial and nationalistic feelings have erupted into an inferno that threatens to explode in a bloodbath. Millions of Africans, spurred on with hunger for nationalism and independence, are beginning to revolt and claim their rights in their own continent. War clouds are gathering over the Caribbean and Latin America as unrest spreads in the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Panama, Honduras, and Venezuela. One American observer recently said, "No longer can the United States take these countries for granted as friends. These nations south of the United States are faced with economic, political, and ideological pressures that could trigger a chain reaction which could change the balance of power throughout the world." Storm signals also loom in other parts of the world. The tremendous communist buildup across from Quemoy indicates that Red China may soon be ready to move against Formosa. It is reported from Korea that the communists are building up their forces in North Korea again. This poor, forgotten, and divided country is still technically at war. There is only an armistice in effect. Thousands of American troops still guard the front lines of Korea. During the past few days, hundreds of rebels were shot in Indonesia in an attempt to uproot the existing government. In Panama, 20 National Guardsmen were arrested in a plot to overthrow the president, and the 3-mile territorial limit was extended to 12 miles. Iraq has just had another revolution, and the Middle East is a tinderbox that could explode before the year is out. The Berlin crisis still looms as a showdown between East and West approaches in the heart of Europe. All the things that we see throughout the world are reminiscent of the days just prior to World War II. It will only take a shot, an assassination, a false move, a misinterpreted statement to set off the war to end all wars. A British newspaper reporter has just returned from Moscow. He says, "The most terrifying thing in Russia today is the arrogant confidence of the people." He reports that they actually believe they're going to rule the world. Mr. Khrushchev has recently said that capitalism will be destroyed if another war should break out. He has also said that capitalism will be destroyed within 15 years, even if war does not break out. Here in Australia, as we read the news from the United States and the Australian press, and perhaps see America a little more objectively than those of you that are at home, we become deeply concerned about the internal pressures and problems within the United States. We read in the Australian press about the corruption among labor leaders, the gangsterism that rules many of our cities, the unnatural emphasis on sex. And I warn you, Americans, you cannot continue to live materialistic, self-centered, pleasure-seeking lives of complacency in a world of explosion, revolt, and revolution. The wages of our sin as a nation are soon going to be paid to us. As surely as I stand before this microphone today, judgment is on the way unless there is wide-scale repentance towards sin and faith in Jesus Christ. America now has the opportunity to lead the world in a spiritual and moral readjustment. We may not have this opportunity long. Instead of impressing the world with our moral and spiritual power, we are busy exporting our most obscene literature, our worst films, and news about gangsters, corruption, and crime. World public opinion is getting the wrong impression of the United States. They are not being told very much about the fact that churches in the United States are filled on Sundays, and that millions of Americans believe in God, and hundreds of thousands trust in Christ as Savior and Lord. But humanity being what it is, and the human mind functioning as it does on a low, egocentric, materialistic plane, we can expect the world to continue its record manufacture of gloom, despair, and hopelessness. Jesus said that right up until the end of time, there would be wars and rumors of wars, for all these things must come to pass. The human heart being what it is, war, strife, crime, and conflict ought to be expected in the order of things to come. Bertrand Russell, the great British philosopher, recently said, "Our planet cannot continue on its present course. There may be war, as a result of which all will perish. Hate and destructiveness have become cosmic, and this will spread madness beyond its present terrestrial confines. The spread of power without wisdom is utterly terrifying, said Mr. Russell. With this dark picture as a backdrop, let's look at the Easter message and see if it is relevant to us today. Civilization has reached a point that the scriptures describe as without God and without hope. I am convinced that for a civilization that is strangled by hate, gripped by fear, and fettered by sins, the glory of Easter still brings life, light, and hope to all who will determine by faith to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Just as hope died, light waned, and abundant life was snapped out when Adam and all those after him sinned, these were all restored when Christ walked triumphantly out of Joseph's tomb on the first Easter, victor over death, hell, and the grave. Though in Adam all die, so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. Easter is filled with the fulfillment of man's inner longings for life, light, hope, and salvation. From the very tomb of sacrificial death emerges the Son of God with the keys of death and hell in His hand. And with these keys, now as then, He unlocks the limitless powers of the other world and freely offers them to all of those who are disposed to accept them. First, the resurrection of Christ brings light to those of us in despair in 1959. As we've already seen, the world of today is in darkness. There is darkness around us and darkness within us. The Bible teaches that our minds have been blinded by Satan. The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. In the midst of the darkness round about us and within us, Christ is the light of the world. Under the picture of Peter Milan in the church he founded on the little New Hebrides island of Neguna are these words: when he came, there was no light. When he died, there was no darkness. When Christ came into the world, there was no light. John said of him, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. He was the heavenly lamplighter, and everywhere he went, the midnight gloom of sin and despair disappeared before him. Harry Lauder once said, I could tell where the lamplighter was by the trail of light he left behind him. As I've had the privilege of traveling around the world, I can tell where the heavenly lamplighter has been by the trail of light he leaves behind him. Show me a place in the world where the message of Christ's death and resurrection has been proclaimed and accepted, and I will show you a place where man's love for man is a little deeper, where the standard of living is a little higher, where women are respected, where there's a semblance of law and order, and where family ties are strong and enduring. The light that shone from that empty tomb on that first Easter morning has shed its kindly rays down through the centuries, dispelling the shadows and gloom that sin and selfishness always bring. The difficulty with the world today, however, is summed up in the words of John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness understood it not. The light of Easter is shining, but men refuse to turn to its healing rays for forgiveness, redemption, and salvation. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, says the scriptures. Thus Christ is being rejected by the overwhelming majority of humanity today. And as a result, they stumble blindly on in spiritual darkness toward destruction, judgment, and hell. In the midst of the darkness and void at the creation of the world, God said, let there be light. In your own sin-darkened, will-paralyzed, conscience-dulled soul, God can make the light penetrate and turn the darkness of your own light into day if you'll let Him. There are many of you that are living in spiritual darkness. You're frustrated, confused, disturbed, and fearful. Let the light come into your heart by faith. When Christ comes into our hearts, then we Christians become little lights reflecting God's light. Christ said, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You can receive the light yourself and become a little light in the midst of the enveloping darkness round about. Thousands in this beautiful land of Australia, in every strata of society, are testing and proving this promise of Easter. Thousands of lives are being transformed across this continent, and the people that sat in darkness are receiving light. Secondly, the resurrection of Christ brings hope in 1959. Emil Brunner has said, "What oxygen is for the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of human life. As the human organism is dependent on a supply of oxygen, so humanity is dependent on the supply of hope. And yet today there is hopelessness and despair everywhere." The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:12 described the civilization of his day as being without hope. Tomorrow's world, if tomorrow is granted to our world, will be very much like today's world, only more so. Tomorrow's world will be a world in which the masses of humanity continue to drag out their days, miserable, poverty-stricken, hungry, sick, fearful, their faces ground into the dust, their backs bent by crushing burdens. Tomorrow's world will not be free from want, disease, ignorance, and slavery. Tomorrow's world will not be a world of peace and abundance, a world governed by the law of love with all of men living together as brothers. Tomorrow's world will not be the brave new world of which Shakespeare sings. Thus, the world has little to live for. There is little hope in the world because world society is based upon the human heart. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? As I've traveled from place to place, talking with the world's leaders during the past few years, I have found hopelessness, darkness, and despair. One European leader said, "If the devil should offer a panacea for the problems of the world, I would gladly follow the devil." 2 weeks ago, Mr. Khrushchev said, "I will talk to the devil himself if he can bring about world peace." Yes, many of our leaders are ready to make a deal with the devil if we can have a few years of respite and peace in order that we might live in luxury and keep our world system as it is. But the Bible says that we must have a change in human nature. The human heart must be changed before we can have permanent world peace. And only Christ can change the human heart. Satan cannot change it. He gives hate instead of love. The world leadership is becoming desperate. But the message of Easter, the resurrection of Christ, is filled and charged with hope. Peter, who himself was given to despair during the episode of Calvary, says in a triumphant note, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." There is hope that past mistakes and sins can be forgiven. There is hope that we can have joy, peace, assurance, and security in the midst of despair of this age. There is hope that Christ is coming soon. This has been called in the scriptures the blessed hope. There is hope that there will someday be a new heaven and a new earth, and that the kingdom of God shall reign in triumph. Our theme during these days of crisis and despair should be, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Our hope is not in our own ability, nor in our own goodness, nor our physical strength. Our hope is instilled in us by the resurrection of Christ. If Christ be not risen, then we are of all men most miserable. But blessed be unto God, he is risen. He is a living Savior. He is alive right now. If every Christian in the world actually believed this, we could turn the world upside down. The early church had experienced a risen Savior. They went out proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. They believed that Christ had been raised. And this very fact shattered and changed and transformed the Roman world. It could do it again in 1959 if Christians actually believed that Christ was living now. If our world leaders actually believed that Christ was living and coming again, it would change the entire world picture overnight. Yet, even on this Easter Sunday, millions of people who profess the name of Christ are not actually aware that he is alive. The resurrection has little personal, relevant, practical meaning in their daily lives. This is a result of our amazing unbelief. Thirdly, the resurrection brings life to those of us who trust in Christ in 1959. Christ said, "I have come that they might have life more abundantly." Near the body of a young man who had committed suicide was found this note recently. I leave to society a bad example. I leave to my friends the memory of a misspent life. I leave to my father and mother all the despair they can bear in their old age. I leave to my wife a broken heart, and to my children the name of a drunkard and a suicide. I leave to God a lost soul who has forfeited his mercy. Even one of Jesus' disciples took his own life because he did not find it in his heart to accept the life that the Savior offered. Life without Christ is futile, empty, and purposeless. In fact, there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the living dead, and there are thousands of you that are alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. You're dead toward God. I tell you that Jesus Christ can make your soul live. He can make your soul vibrate. As a young Christian said to me the other day here in Australia, since I found Christ the other night, life has been exhilarating. Yes, life with a capital L when you know Jesus Christ. Today, on this glorious Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ stands on the rim of the abyss where modern man writhes in anger and despair. His garments glisten with glory of the other world. He calls to all men in tones of tenderness and compassion. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a glorious thing it would be if Africans, Europeans, Russians, Chinese, Americans, Latin Americans, men and women of all races, languages, and cultures could come to the empty tomb and surrender their hearts, lives, greed, passion, lust, and weapons to Christ. What a transformation would take place in our world. Yes, the only light penetrating the darkness round about us and the darkness within us is the light of the cross and the resurrection. Without it, we would be of all men most hopeless. Christ can give life in this life and the life to come. It is life more abundantly that he offers. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we pray today that the living Christ will come to reign in our hearts as we receive him by faith. For we ask it in his name. Amen.